The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook, our friends, by using promo code RTRS, and brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process at BriggsAuction.com/Ricky. L.L. Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged, and Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, CJ returns from his month-long vacation. Mike has finally watched Hustle. Speaking of which, while we talk about Hustle, I have a clarification I'd like to make about one Tobias Harris. Mark Stein says the Sixers could be investigated for the PJ Tucker contract. The Ricky turns 9 years old, Tobias turns 30, and most importantly, the mailbag will carry us through the offseason as we have some good voicemails and emails. Kinetic Skateboarding, I mentioned, the shoes are the star right now, I believe, the sneakers. They have these new colors of the Chuck Taylor mids, which I've never seen Chuck Taylor mids before. I've seen high tops and low tops. I've never seen mids, but they have these tan and like these navy that are really sweet with the white stitching I think I'm going to get. And the brand new colors of the Reaper Kinetic Pocket Tee with the little Grim Reaper guy on there, Pocket Tee. Good shit with Kinetic. Go to kineticskateboarding.com and use promo code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who has been celebrating the Ricky's birthday for 1 week now. That is Mike Levin. Week-long celebration.
It's a lot of years, man.
A lot of years
doing this, doing a podcast. It feels like podcasts haven't been around long enough for us to have been doing this for 9 years.
Yep. I think it was July 10th was the first Rights to Ricky Sanchez. I think there was one podcast of you and I prior to that. 9 years ago. So we are now officially in the 10th year. It really is stunning. That amount of time.
Really puts it in perspective. Have we gotten to the conference finals? No.
Nope.
Have I moved several times? Yes. None of us live in Philly anymore. You got to get CJ because at least we needed someone to live in the friggin' city.
Yeah. We need one from here person. Someone said sorry, that's my running app that I forgot to stop.
Oh, wow. Yeah. First, he's too sweaty. Sorry. Now he's really, really plugging run. This 4 mile run. He has to know.
I was definitely too sweaty.
The little squeegee backpack that you could just start taking slips out of your backpack?
Camelback? No, I do not have one of those. Yeah. When I ran long, I did have one of those. But someone asked in the email, we'll get to it eventually, but he said something to the effect of, he started listening a few months ago, he's amazed at how grounded we are for a fan podcast. And I just thought to myself, it's just beating the life out of us. That's what it is. That's why we're so grounded. You must accept it at this point, or, you know, it's too much.
Grounded is a really, really funny way to describe it. Really funny way.
So
a few months ago.
Yeah.
We started watching a few months ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Okay. Yeah. So, CJ's back. Where do you want to do the CJ portion of it? Is that a mid pod? Is it an end pod? Is it the top story where we find out what people want?
The sick fucks that are listening now with no news, absolutely nothing going on. I'll talk about the Summer League win over the Nuggets yesterday, I'm sure, but. The people want to hear CJ. So CJ, come on back. It's been too long.
There he is.
There he is.
to kick it off, I want to say I'm a big water reservoir guy. I love a good water bladder.
Yeah.
On a good hike. Nothing better than sucking on some
water. I wasn't saying anything bad about that. I was saying Spike should wear that during this podcast to really make people make sure people knew that he was just on a run.
It's not what I was trying to do. Right. So where did you go? And it was with a friend group, right?
It was with a friend group. Every year we go on a two-week road trip to national parks.
Wow.
So I was at Yosemite, Death Valley, Joshua Tree, Mojave Preserve, not a park technically, but.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
How big is the friend group?
It was four of us this time. It's kind of ranged between like who can make it, but it was four this time.
It's not like this is the friend group, nobody else is allowed in type of thing.
No, no. This is like a subsect of the group that likes to like go on hikes and stuff.
Okay.
There you go. Maybe it's just, I remember when I was your age, I enjoy hiking, but finding like four people that are my friend and also I would want to go hiking seems like most people for vacation want to go and just fucking, party and, whatever. To the fact that you have a friend group that all likes to do that seems lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think I'm kind of the guy, the outlier who didn't do it before, like being in the group. Mm. Like they all grew up Boy Scouts and stuff, so they were hiking and camping all the time. I didn't do that growing up because I played sports and such.
Wow.
But yeah, it's fun.
Do you guys give away?
Go ahead. No, I was going to keep going. Go for it.
Would you give away like Boy Scout style, like pendants and like awards and? Do you do that at the
within the group? Like who places best? Like who gets to the mountain first? No, but we should pitch that moving forward. That's a good idea.
If you help an old lady, you get the old lady helping badge or whatever. Something.
Right. That would definitely add a new element to the group that I think that we really need at this point. These many years in, so I'll pitch that.
Any drama on the trip?
No, we went. This isn't drama. This isn't like. But I was going to mention it. We did go to a karaoke bar in Koreatown.
We went to Koreatown one.
Yeah. We met up with friends who lived in Beverly Hills, so I think that was just closer to like where they were used to.
Wow.
Group has some fancy friends.
Yeah.
They just moved out there after college, engineers.
Beverly Hills is an odd. I'd like to talk to them. Can we pull them up?
Yeah, it's early where you're at, so I don't know if they're up.
That's true.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
This is basically the beginning of what could be described as the CJ interview. Like we could do a podcast that is just a CJ interview. And we prepare for it with questions like with Brett.
Right.
And then we ask him and he comes on. Maybe he does a bad job with his microphone. He asks if this is okay, those kinds of things.
And then when I'm done, I'll just throw my camera at the wall or something.
Just toss it.
To sign off.
CJ missed the B-Ball Paul interview.
I was there for that.
All-timer. And you were there for that? Oh, you listened. You were on that?
That was my last pod. Yeah.
Oh, so you just missed Brett. You just missed the Brett interview. Okay. And final thing, I don't know if you did any other listening, but there was a suggestion. Obviously, we have the CJ True Height Challenge, which will come at some point where your girlfriend's father will measure you without shoes against the wall where we'll find out your true height. But somebody else suggested a combine. Where you do all the things in the combine. So we get your vertical, we get, I don't know how many times you can squat something.
That's not in the combine.
I'm a good squatter. I got a mean squat.
We saw it on the couch.
Yeah, that's right. With the overalls. That's right. Let's do it. Let's set it up.
We'll do a shuttle run.
Yeah. Right.
Three quarter court sprint, all of it.
Yeah, I have a pretty good box jump too, so I'm confident that my vertical will be parallel to that.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in my abilities to
guy who compete knows against box jump.
To other non-athletes, I think I would do well against like anyone knows how to do anything. Probably not that well.
I love it.
Last thing, what is your prediction as to what your wingspan is?
I imagine it's like maybe an inch longer than my height. So I don't know. Like the conversion of how many inches that is total, but
so you think you have like a 6'1" wingspan?
Probably.
Okay.
I've always kind of thought I had like slightly above average arms. I don't know.
Oh, Above average arms.
You know, because remember we talked about that surgery that guys were getting where they would break their knees and then
get taller,
but then their arms were super low. I remember when that was happening and thinking like, oh, well, like my arms like rest decently below my waist. So like maybe I got a good wingspan.
Decently below your waist. Everybody's arms.
Compared to those fellows that are getting that surgery. I don't think so.
If you're adding 4 inches to your quads.
Yeah, so it makes you think, like, maybe if I got that, it wouldn't stand out as much.
Sure. We got to get DraftKings involved. Got to get DraftKings involved with specific props for every one of the combine things, especially wingspan. Well, welcome back, CJ. It's good to have CJ back, and also I have to do less, which is fantastic. So I hope I'm quoting him right, because I'm going to be honest. I do subscribe to some Substacks, but I can't pay for everybody's fucking Substack. And Mark Stein, God bless your Substack. No offense, but Newsbreaker guy, it's all public. I can't subscribe to your Substack. So all I have is the tweet from The Hoop Central about what Mark Stein wrote in his Substack. So I don't know. Maybe it's true. He says, I'm told Philadelphia's signing of PJ Tucker is also likely to be placed under the investigation microscope by the league office. Mike, your comments.
Finally, the Department of Justice is acting swiftly. These infractions must be accounted for. Everyone cares about it. It's so important. Oh, shut the fuck up, Mark. Someone called him Narkstein. I thought that was good.
Wow. I was thinking more deeply about this because fucking an enormous loser. You were talking last time about how you thought that it was, if not likely, then possible that the Sixers are slapped on the wrist in some way for the Harden stuff. Here, I thought a little bit more. Here's the trouble with that, is that I think what everyone is suggesting is that they are circumventing the cap by Michael Rubin giving James Harden money out so he will take less from the Sixers. If that is what they are like convicted of or whatever, that's an enormous problem. Now, if what they do is they just say, we're just going to say you did a tampering thing, and then that's what the problem is. But if the problem is that they think there's like side payments going on, I think that would be a big problem, right? I mean, if it's not one of the big shoe companies that makes the world go round. Otherwise, wouldn't that be an issue? Like a huge issue?
I mean, that is what I don't know what else they would be convicted of.
Well, unless they say
and getting you tampered more money from something. But the tampering is, this is the tampering. It's not tampering like you contacted free agents ahead of time. That happened to everybody.
I'm saying that that's what they, so as to not make it an enormous deal, they would convict them of something smaller.
Sure. You know,
like they might plead to something smaller.
The sentence, the right. Holy sentence might be different, but what they're doing, or everyone just is kind of like being like, yeah, that's why Michael Rubin keeps getting included in all the tweets. He's paying them extrajudiciously, something like that. So it's just like he's paying them below board.
Right.
Which again, I'm sure that happens all the time. It just doesn't happen this baldly with Harden taking less money as an owner leaves, as he gets talked about in the breaking news tweets as part of the deal negotiations. What if he just started saying and the rights to Ricky Sanchez part of the deal negotiations? Like people will be like, "What the fuck?"
I would love those guys to get included in one of those.
They're helping
tweets.
Negotiate the deal. Are they? Is LL sponsoring Harden's contract?
I would love maybe even, I know we're not getting included in a Woj or a Shams, but there's no reason why Jake Fisher can't include us in one of those. There's just no reason why he shouldn't. We're going to retweet him. He'll get so much engagement on that tweet if we get included in one of those rumors. Come on.
We just have to start negotiating contracts below the board. That's the only thing stopping us.
Yep.
We'll start reaching out to B-Ball Paul and say, how can we give you some money? Can we just throw some money your way?
Well, maybe the dog bed. I don't know. Is that circumventing
that
might
have been it. That might have been it. A big barker is bribing him to stay while his contract stays below market value. Okay.
Briggs Auction has a new auction up right now with a few items I want you to know about. BriggsAuction.com/Reiki. Briggs Auction is a sick auction house that's been there for four generations in Delco. Man, okay. First, they have a Sixers, and every week, every other week, they have these big estate auctions. And there's always something in there interesting that I think about getting. So one, on the one that ends on the 22nd, there is a Sixers Phillies lot that has two Iverson lunchboxes and a 76ers Gumby in it. Sixers Gumby. When was Gumby big enough to have a Sixers figurine? So there we go. There's that. There's a bunch of like baseball card lots that do not specify what's in there. So like giant grab bag lots. And dude, that's where you find the gold, is people have the cards has been sitting in their basement. They don't feel like itemizing them. And also in this current auction, a 1980 Pontiac Firebird, that's right, with I think 46,000 miles on it, in sick condition. Everything in these auctions, from collectibles to old books to furniture, right? So you don't have to wait for it to get shipped to you. It's ready right then, to clothes, to electronics, all that kind of stuff. Basically every week at this point, Briggs Auction is doing it. There's another one next week. So this one ends on the 22nd. Then there's another one that ends on the 29th. Periodic special collection auctions. Here's what you do. Download the Briggs Auction app. You can go through all the auctions right now on the App Store or Google Play, or go to BriggsAuction.com/Reiki and check out the auctions there. Also, if you want to downsize or have an estate auction you would like to do through Briggs, you can't go anywhere else. info@BriggsAuction.com. Love Briggs Auction. Just sit there scrolling, find something to buy with lots as cheap as a dollar. And then this fucking Pontiac Firebird's going to go for 30 grand. Who knows? BriggsAuction.com/Reiki. All right. What do we got next? So Hustle. So you finally saw Hustle on Netflix. Now this is old for everybody else. Most people, Sixers fans, have watched Hustle by now. Mike finally catches up, watches Hustle. What is your review? Scale of 1 to 7, 7 being the best, 1 being the worst. What is your score for Hustle?
I don't know that I'm going to give it a score. I reject the premise of the question, but I thought it was, I was worried, let's say.
Wait,
I was worried coming in.
You reject the premise of what question? Did you like the movie?
Of a rating scale.
Of a movie? That's an accepted.
Can't do it. Look, too close to home.
Okay, all right. Fair.
I thought it was delightful. I thought it was, 90% of it was a montage, but I thought, as our friend Michael Weber warned me, it would be. But I thought it was extremely pleasant. I thought Sandler does his thing. He's good at doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And the basketball looked cool for sure. It was cool that they got real basketball players, not like, you know, so many times in TV shows. Anytime we're doing like a basketball episode of a show or whatever, you're like, oh my God, is this going to look like shit? There's so many examples of like, you know, the Fresh Prince playing some of the worst basketball ever.
Wesley Snipes famously didn't know how to play basketball, really. And actually, all things considered, I think he figured it out pretty well, but doesn't look like a basketball player when he's playing, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I thought the movie was extremely pleasant. It was like, it didn't try too hard to be funny. It was like funny in some parts. The basketball's good. There was so much Sixer stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there was one, like early on in the movie, there was like four straight shots that have just like Sixers office facility, Sixers sign on the wall, Sixers court. Like it was just like everything. I was like, wow, they really went there. And were forced to put in a lot of Sixers stuff. I like that the Sixers are kind of the villain in this.
Yeah. Had the shitbag owner /GM who was basically Brian Colangelo.
Sure. You know. Sure.
Yep.
I just thought it was really nice. I mean, Anthony Edwards obviously kicks ass. I thought Wancho was great.
I thought so too.
I think it like helped that he's not like English too wasn't famous. His first language, so he can just come in and just be like and not try to act too hard. He's kind of just like, you give him like a break because he's like, oh, he's just trying to like say the words in his second language, which is cool. He speaks English well. It's just not like he's trying so hard to be dramatic. He's mostly just like saying the words, which I think worked out nicely. Some of the stuff was cool. I mean, it was just a solid, solid film, and it could have been so much worse. I was really dreading it being worse, and it wasn't. It was nice.
It was an easy watch. You know, it was, you say the whole thing like a montage. It almost like is like watching a movie, like a movie long music video or something, you know, or a 1 hour TV special that ends up being stretched into a movie. I thought it was fine. It was a fine watch. I thought, and I agree with you. I thought the players were good. I thought Anthony Edwards was good and Juancho Hernan Gomez was good. And the basketball, the last basketball I remember being this good was Blue Chips, in terms of how the basketball was. Blue Chips, I thought the basketball in that was really good, but they used real players in that as well. So it was a little weird that, like, Embiid was mentioned, Embiid wasn't in it. So in this world, Embiid is on the Sixers. Is Ben Simmons on the Sixers in this world?
Yeah.
But they don't mention him.
I don't think so. I don't think they mentioned him either. But then Tobias was good. Had a somewhat half meaty role, not a full one, but a little bit there.
Yeah,
Matisse got a couple jokes in there. Kyle Lowry is like at least hanging around the Sixers, which is funny. And going to dinner with the Sixers owner, I guess. I thought that was odd. Boban was all right, doing his thing. Maxie, a couple nice smiles.
Boban saying he's like 24 or whatever was funny. That was a funny bit. I definitely thought that was a funny bit.
The Juancho Hernan Gomez's brother being in it and getting kicked off the national team for him was interesting. In the movie, there is a Billy Hernan Gomez, but there's not a Juancho Hernan Gomez, which I thought was a fun little weird meta thing. It was fun to see it. Kenny Smith wasn't that good.
Does he exist in this world?
No.
Kenny Smith does not exist. Okay. No. And then the only other thing that I thought was like, that was funny, that was the only miss I thought from a basketball perspective, is like, since when do we talk about the combine like this? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I've never heard I don't even think real prospects even go to the combine anymore. They certainly don't play.
Yes. They definitely made some liberties, as every movie does, but it's everyone's going to the combine. You have to get it. It's more like for the lower level,
right?
Like tertiary, like just on the fringe type of prospects that like really want to get into the combine, so they're at that level. But yeah, like it's more unrealistic. My nephew's calling me. Unrealistic that that Anthony Edwards' character would have gone to the combine and everything. Queen Latifah had a couple nice little moments. I thought that was cute. Queen, their daughter in the movie, Alyssa's on a basketball team with her. She's on Alyssa's basketball team, so that was cool to see. Her name is Jordan. And I really was worried about it being so bad. The reason I didn't watch it for so long is because I was just cringing. It was just too close to home. But it was.
Oh yeah,
it was
definitely good. Wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
And last thing on the movie is, and I don't know how movies still keep missing on this, but every time a movie tries to address how the internet works, they do it as if it's like 1998 or something, like the beginning of virility. And you're like, how do we get him into the combine? Let's do something that goes totally viral immediately. And then it just works. And it just, you know, nobody knows how to address. The only, was it Unfriended or that there's
it like was a charming little competition of them of try to score, try to hit the rim. That gave it a little interesting spin on it. But yes, as someone that has done like internet storylines and being just like, and then it goes viral and stuff. It's not, I wouldn't say 98, but I would say like 2009.
That's
probably where it stopped.
Yeah.
And there's only a certain amount of time where you can go like, all right, this happens and this is a plot point and everybody just buy in. We'll try to make it fun.
Since we mentioned Tobias, I don't want to debate this. I think I just want to make my position clear. I'm happy to. I want to make clear about Tobias that I basically, if I haven't made it clear, because I just sort of laughed during it, I basically disagree with everything that you say about Tobias. I don't think any of those things are true. I don't think he is a locker room presence, even though he's probably a good guy. I think he's like a negative to have on the team next year. I don't think anything he provides is particularly valuable for the team. And I don't think he should be playing three if PJ Tucker is starting. So I just want to make it clear that I think that Tobias Harris being on the 2022-23 Sixers would be a detriment to them. Almost.
All right. I mean, I just think that that's insane. Like, I'm not saying I love Tobias. I'm not saying he's the best player in the world, but like his contract right now is so much that if you trade him, you're going to have to add shit to it. Like, and the value he provides on the court is more valuable than having to trade him just for the sake of trading him. And I don't know why. I mean, unless you are breaking news here, like everybody says Tobias is a helpful locker room guy and people talk about how much they like him and all that stuff.
Go find an article that says that he what's it called? Post bubble. In the 2 years since the bubble, that anyone saying that Tobias is like a leader or anything.
B-Ball Paul got books from Tobias. We just talked to him about it.
You brought it up, not him.
Well, but it was in an article. It was in a Rich Hoffman article.
That he gave him books. Yeah. That doesn't mean like he's a
helping
necessary...
him with financials. Taking him under his wing.
I don't want to hammer.
He does the eye thing in the pregame layup line.
I'll give AU credit. The only thing I think he provides at all is some level of less roster overturn. But but in critical situations, that guy is, I don't want him. I would rather play with three guards and just put, what's his fuck at three? The new guy, that they traded the pick for, that they traded Roddy for, Melton. I'd rather just play three guards and start Harden and Maxey and Melton, and then just start PJ Tucker and Embiid. I'd be perfectly fine doing that.
Yeah, I like that also. I like those guys. That's definitely a look that you'd want to give. But he's also improved his game, improved as a catch and shoot threat, improved as a defensive player. People seem to like him. I guess I'm not in the locker room forcing them to write stories about it, but people,
I'm not saying they don't like him. I'm not saying they don't like him. I'm just saying that I don't think he is like a cornerstone. And by the way,
I don't think he's a cornerstone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a cornerstone at all.
We're talking about a team that has like mentally wilted it every year at the end of the year, like every year they show no fight toward the end. So if what he is some sort of leader, he's not a good enough
one. No, I don't think of him as like a cornerstone guy. I don't think that they should have made the Tobias trade. I don't think they sort of signed Tobias to the Tobias contract, but those things are already done. And as far as looking forward, I think he provides more value on the team, on the court in times when, you know, he's still the fourth option when all those guys are healthy in there, but when they're hurt or resting or whatever it is, he can do enough where he's valuable, and I would rather not have to attach more assets to him just to get empty value contracts or to trade him for Russell Westbrook and then waive Westbrook or something. I just don't think that would help in any way.
Okay. The DraftKings put out some odds on the Sixers landing some of the more notable trade candidates and some futures. So Sixers are plus 1800 to get Kevin Durant. The Suns are a plus 105 favorite. They are plus 3000 to get Donovan Mitchell. Knicks at a minus 200 favorite and plus 1600 to get Kyrie Irving, and the Lakers are a minus 160 favorite. I think all three of those end up on the favorite one. The Suns thing is interesting, I guess, but they all end up going where they want to go anyway. So I think they'll all end up there. Sixers plus 1400 to win the title. The Celtics are the favorite at plus 550. The Suns, the Clippers, the Warriors, all plus 600, plus 550 to win the East. And Embiid is plus 650 to win MVP. And finally, Doc Rivers is plus 2800 to win Coach of the Year. Mike, you going to lay any money down on that? Doc Rivers.
I don't think it's a bad, I don't think it's a fun bet to make, but I don't think it's a bad bet at 2800. Like, coaches
emotional hedge
awarding Doc with respect, and I think if the Sixers finish first or second in the East and like a good run and things look good, I think he totally could.
Oh my god, what a crushing moment that would be.
It might be
DraftKings Sportsbook giving new customers risk-free bet up to $1,000. Whether you're doing MMA or golf or baseball or same-game parlays or summer league, whatever it is, risk-free bet up to $1,000 with promo code RTRS. Again, DraftKings Sportsbook, use promo code RTRS. Make your first deposit, get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Promo code RTRS, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, before we get to the mailbag, we have the hard-to-stomach YouTube comment of the week and just the news that the Suns end up re-signing DeAndre Ayton while the Pacers signed him to an offer sheet. Any reaction there, Mike? Very strange situation in Phoenix.
Yeah, very strange. I mean, they had to match. They can't just let the number one overall pick go for nothing, especially in a year where they drafted him so stubbornly over Luka Doncic and Trae Young. I'm not a huge Ayton guy. I think he's like perfectly fine. I think he'll be like the 8th to 10th best center in the league for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you want to pay that guy max money, but they didn't seem to want to do a sign and trade or didn't, you know, there wasn't enough interest there. I don't know why they wouldn't have done like Ayton for Miles Turner. I think maybe Miles Turner is a better fit in some sense. Because then you could at least have like, he has more stretchability. Ayton's a better roller, but, I don't know. Things just seemed bad there. And to go to run it back in a year where like Chris Paul is a year older after such a huge playoff disappointment, losing to Dallas by fucking 1,000 in game 7 at home. That's just an odd thing. And maybe there's still a Kevin Durant trade to come that would require like moving McHale and Cam Johnson before they pay him and probably Jay Crowder. But if that happened, then it's, you know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton is a hell of a unit. So I don't think that Phoenix is managing things too well, but mm-hmm. They still could recover, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think Ayton is that good, but it is a very strange way they handle it. I'm curious. Eventually, it'll come out what the personality issue is there. Not that there's something wrong with DeAndre Ayton's personality, but there's got to be something weird. He barely played in that game 7, and for them to handle it the way that they did, just to obviously sort of handle it with so little care and not give a shit if he leaves, sort of, is very strange. It's not the first time that a restricted free agent has been told, hey, go find that offer and then we'll just match it. It just seemed different than most of those do. So,
it doesn't seem like a healthy way to build.
No.
A better vibe and like continuity for next season. It seems like almost certainly they're going to trade him, if not right after January when they can, like pretty soon after, like in the maybe next offseason or something. But then he better look good this season. And if he doesn't look good, if he looks like a guy that doesn't give a shit because he doesn't want to play for the team that has clearly shown that they don't really want him that much, then his value could go down. I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I don't think restricted free agency should exist. I think that's like just kind of a fucked up weird thing. Hey, I signed this contract with somebody else, but like this whole team is allowed to just say like, nope, you can't go. Like it's a little bit bizarre.
Which just never works. No, nobody, it's rare that a player gets an offer sheet somewhere else and the team just lets them sign it. So teams don't sign them to them. It's just a strange waiting game, you know?
It's fun in a dramatic sense. When they go like, you have 48 hours.
Yeah.
Make your move. Like someone calls from a payphone with like gloves on and just you see the bottom of their face. And it's like, we're Indiana. It's Indiana calls with gloves on. It's an odd thing. And there's still, you know, dominoes of KD and Kyrie to drop. And
Mitchell.
It's been an interesting offseason. I noticed, and I was sort of pleasantly surprised, I haven't heard really many people talk about it, but the last three NBA finals, the last six teams to participate in the NBA finals are all six different teams.
And oh, wow.
I like that. I think that's cool. Yeah. And I hope it happens again this year. I hope the Sixers are one of those new teams. It could be Sixers Nuggets, Sixers Clippers would both be another new one. So those would be what I'm rooting for. The Sixers to make the finals. I don't know if that's not grounded enough, but
look,
that's the vibe I'm going for.
The Paul George versus Doc Rivers, mm-hmm. you know, finals.
That'd
would
be great.
Or Jokic Embiid. Yep. Great story. Oh man. I don't know if we could survive Jokic Embiid. I couldn't survive a loss. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but if say Minnesota just like pulls it all together and gets there. And then it's Anthony Edwards against Philadelphia for the Hustle Championship. And, you know, you get Gobert, Embiid, Cat, Jimmy's old team.
Oh, yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff.
The hard-to-stomach YouTube comment of the week comes from Rashid Frazier. He says, JJ Redick and Spike Eskin one-sided beef is so weird. Wow.
Anybody,
can I defend myself slightly?
Sure, sure.
Any person that we talk about, any basketball player that we don't talk about, I don't know that it's not going to know us. It doesn't mean there needs to be a beef. Like,
no, Jonah Bolden's beef was not one sided for me. He came at me, and so it was a two sided situation.
And if anything, there are some people who are like, oh, like when he said something, you know, on Twitter, I've always been anti JJ Redick, even when he was here. And the final thing I would say is that of anyone who we talk negatively about, player wise, or I have, he is the only one who seems to be aware of it and also not like back. Even if it was minimally, he seems to be listening. Maybe not to this pod, but he hears things. He definitely like internalizes it. Did you see his reaction when people were chanting not on Twitter at him at Fly the Process? He was certainly annoyed by that. He was certainly annoyed. So all these beefs are going to be one-sided. I'm not claiming it's a, you know, that like we're rivals or something. I just don't like him. The Lorenzo Braille mailbag writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com, writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com, or call us at 833 Lickface and leave us a voicemail. This comes from Lachlan. Hey, Spike, Mike, and CJ. I'm an Australian planning a trip to the States at the end of the year. I'm going to Philly to watch the Sixers play hopefully under a coach whose name it doesn't rhyme with cock quivers. Anyway, I'm hoping you guys can offer some suggestions of places to visit, be it quintessential Philadelphia restaurants, museums, or galleries, or just anything fun. CJ seems to be a hiking guy, so if he wants to chime in with some good national park recommendations anywhere in the country, I'd greatly appreciate it. Also,
sounds like he wants to join the friend group.
Yep. CJ, could you let him go on a hike with the friend group when he's in Philly? You guys go to Valley Forge National Park?
Yeah, that's a national park. Come on, Lachlan.
Also tossing up a visit between Boston and Montreal. To be honest, I don't know what there is to do in Boston other than becoming an egotistical elitist prick. Anyway, would love to hear some suggestions. Look, if you're just going to Philly, go to the Museum of Art. It's fucking awesome. I know it sounds, you know, touristy, but you're a tourist, so that's where you should go. And as far as restaurants, there's a million of them. Go to Yelp. Mike, any particular Philly restaurant you'd like to? I mean, I'm not trying to be a prick. Oh, and national parks. I did just go to Acadia National Park, and he was asking for any national parks. CJ mentioned some earlier. I went to Acadia in Maine, and it was awesome. Mike, any picks?
I mean, I haven't eaten enough in Philadelphia lately. I mean, when I was there a few years ago, I mean, everyone says it, but I really enjoyed Zahav. I thought that was
a very tasty
meal. I have enjoyed, speaking of tourists, I have enjoyed Dr. Oz posting Pat's and Geno's as like his favorite cheesesteaks place in Philly. Very solid. Very solid that he's running for Senate and he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to post he's doing the Sixers, the stuff you don't like. He's doing the, like, I'm pandering. Here's a good pander. And it was just
that's all politicians do is pander.
Of course, but he didn't even do it well. He did it very poorly.
Don't you think, though, and I haven't had one in years, the only claim that I think is a little false from Philadelphians about this is A, that only tourists go to Pat's and Geno's. It's just patently untrue. I've, like, in my younger years, I was there. Trust me, it wasn't all. There's not enough tourists in that area to just feed those places. And two, that they're not good. Like, they're fine. They're good. Like, if you enjoy a cheesesteak, they're both fine. Good. And Philadelphians go there.
It's just the most. I'm not saying I agree that not only tourists go there, but it is the most touristy place.
Sure.
To possibly go.
Yes, they are like locally owned businesses or something. It's not like fucking Walmart put them there or something, but
that's fair. But it's still funny in a place where Philadelphia takes that shit seriously, as we talked about last week. And if you're going to pander, you got to pander right. And that is the wrong kind of pander. And he looked like such a fucking doofus doing it.
Yeah, I could. I personally hate politicians more than any one group, any in the entire country. So I feel like
it's time for JJ to run for office.
Yes. That would be amazing. Well, Bryce Harper's already on his pandering way. Do you have an opinion? I've never been to Montreal. Boston's a similar city to Philly, I think, in a lot of ways. I think Boston's a cool city, you know, just to go and hang out. I wouldn't know what to do. I've never been to Montreal. Have you?
Never been to Montreal. Boston, I haven't been to since I visited schools in 2007.
And his basketball question, I thought you would like this. What's the story behind Keith Pompey? How did he become and maintain his job as a Sixers beat writer? His on and off court antics really puzzle me. The infamous 9/11 tweets, the tough ad read, the wet court, him tweeting that the Sixers fans are chanting, "Let's go Sixers."
Yep.
What type of reporting is this? He seems like a sweet guy, but he clearly has no idea what he's doing. A true enigma. Interested in your take. Well, he gets scoops now. He does get scoops. He does get, you know, he prints every single one of them, but he does get scoops. I don't know his story. He's been a reporter for a long time.
What's the story behind Keith Pompey?
The 9/11 tweets.
What's the story behind Keith Pompey?
Anything?
I love Keith. I would love to know. I would love to watch a Keith Pompey 30 for 30. Let's do it.
Just on the tweets, just on the 9/11.
On the tweets, on 9/11, on the ad read, on the wet court. I love him. Love him. Always been very nice to me. I love Keith. This is a delight.
833-LICKFACE is where you call and leave us a voicemail. Here's one. Oh, man, I am such a failure with this voicemail. I got to let CJ handle the voicemail from now on. Actually, I can't. All right, here we go.
What's up, Zach and Mike? Huge loyal fan of the Ricky. So I wanted to ask about the recent news that there's new about the new survey about the three possible locations for the new Sixers Arena, as it seems even clearer that they won't be in the Wells Fargo Center once their lease expires. I think there was three options: Camden, Center City, and South Philly, the Navy Yard. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on those three locations and their efforts to create a new stadium. All right. Bye.
So the Camden thing has long been, since I think if you go back to the very beginning of the pod, my theory that that's where it was going to end up. They did send out an email, it seems like, asking people what their preference would be in those areas. I think very clearly for me, the best would be the Navy Yard from a getting there and getting out and all those sorts of stuff. Like a Center City thing would be a fucking nightmare if you're coming from the suburbs or something. So
that'd be a nightmare. And also for just to be in Center City, like having to have it that much like foot traffic or car traffic to get into there would be brutal.
It'd be terrible.
You don't think Boathouse Row? that's our home. Just plop it on the lake right there.
Yeah.
Right on the water.
Nah, I don't think Boathouse Row. Yeah, no. Any other bad ideas? Maybe put it on top of the gallery.
If they did, I mean, it's not funny, but darkly funny if they displaced those houses for Boathouse Row.
So the new arena would become Boathouse Row.
Yeah. So then that shirt, Chris Heck, retroactively, right. I don't know. I guess, yeah. It's interesting that they gave him like three choices. And it's like, what if it's like just none of them? Do you like that the arenas are all so close together?
Yes. So being in a different place
imagine just being a fan, not as a reporter person.
No, yeah. I don't go as a reporter person. I think the plus about the Philadelphia things, well, aside from the fact that them being close to each other actually doesn't matter to me. The location, both if you're in the city and coming from outside the city, is optimal. Just because in the city, at least Philly's public transportation is okay, is not great, but at least there's a Broad Street Line stop right there. Mm-hmm. And if you're driving, there are two highways that go very close. And it's, look, no stadium is great getting in and out of if there's 50,000 people going in and out of anything, or 20,000, it's not great. But having to drive to Yankee Stadium or Citi Field or try to drive to Madison Square Garden or any of these things. The only one that's easy to get to is the Prudential Center. It's not even in New York. So going through what I've gone through now, I actually think Philly has an optimal situation there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like the charm of a city that has like the stadium like nestled in, mm-hmm. like Fenway. I think Wrigley's mm-hmm. like that, although it's been a while. Coors Field.
Wrigley is like that. It's not downtown, is in Wrigleyville though. So it is in a, you know, just an area rather than what it is like in Philly.
Yeah. But at this point, like you can't do that now. Like it's too far gone. And it probably, mm-hmm. as we said, like displaced a lot of people when they were building it before. So now at this point, it's just like, just keep it in the same fucking place. Like it is what it is. Stop trying so hard.
The Royce Ricky Sanchez podcast, our final sponsor, is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers. He is back from vacation. LL, ready to sell you engagement rings. Over 280 Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners have purchased engagement rings from LL. In fact, I'm going to bring it up in our next email. Somebody went through some older episodes as to when some important LL engagement ring moments happened. Of course, Mike, do you know what number you are? Mike, no. One of the 280 something. Mike's like, I don't know, 250 or something like that. The original sponsor of the Ricky, the first one in, has been, now he's been with us for, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that, but has been in business at 707 Walnut for over 30 years. Takes such great care of our listeners. Such great care of everyone that walks in there. You know, not at one of those high pressure jewelry stores, just a really low key, honest, informative, great product, great price, great person, just an excellent place to go if you're going to buy an engagement ring or any piece of jewelry. And that's how you stay in business that long. Either that or you're a crook, but he's not a crook. So over 30 years at 707 Walnut. If you want to buy an engagement ring, you can't go to anybody else. Shoot him an email, lee@llpavorsky.com. Set up an appointment. He wants to make sure he has enough time to focus on you. Call him, 215-627-2252, or tweet him at llpavorsky. Supporter of our charities from the very beginning. Right now, Providence Animal Center, coded by kids. LL Pavorsky Jewelers.
Ring-a-ding-ding, LL's got that thing.
This comes from Jeff. Writes to Ricky Sanchez's team. This is a long one, but I'll try to condense it. I went back and listened to the big board pods between 2015 and 2020 because I have no life. And below are what I feel are the highlights. 2015, Spike had a comment that there are two organizations notorious for leaking things, the Celtics and wherever Doc Rivers is. You were wowed by Hezonja and eked with Russell, weren't worried about the Lakers taking him, and even said he might be better than Damian Lillard. You liked Jaren Grant and Justin Anderson and felt Stauskas could be a solid NBA starter. The highlight of this pod was when Mike made a comment about point guards that can't shoot and said it's easier if the point guard can shoot.
Sure.
2016, this pod marked the 11th engagement ring purchased through LL. Derek Bodner had concerns about Simmons shooting and felt he would be a streaky shooter. You were high on streaky. Bender. What's that?
Pretty streaky.
Pretty streaky, streak. Yeah. Yeah, long ways, streak. Yeah. You were high on Bender and both loved TLC and Ferk.
We both now did love TLC and Ferk.
Yeah, and we were convinced that Colangelo taking both of them was a motion toward the internet Sixer fans.
That was an olive branch.
Yep. 2017 was a big year for LL as the ring total jumped to 39.
Spike, I think we're dragging LL in the big board pods. Most importantly, this is how many people had bought engagement rings by this point.
Spike remarked that the Sixers would only get JJ if they overpaid and called Fultz a generational player. On some level, it's true. By far, the best quote of the podcast and of all big board podcasts was, quote, who of the Sixers turned from not a good shooter into a good shooter?
Yeah. I mean, you could say Maxey now.
Yeah.
Maxey was not shooting was certainly not a strength of his from the outside. And now it seems to be. And that's cool.
You know, and there's no reason for me to lie about this, though I think some would say that I'm lying. I certainly had to talk myself into that false YouTube. And I would like to go back and listen to the first time I remarked about it. There was something about his YouTube that did not pop to me, but I did talk myself into it. I would love to go back in my brain and figure out when it turned, probably when we made the fucking trade. 2018.
He was so cool as a college player. He was awesome. Awesome.
It was weird that the team was so bad in college. You know, for him to be that good and the team to be that bad, it just seems like in college, if you're that good, you can at least elevate your team to be pretty good. Yeah, they were.
I think that's fair.
You know, retroactively looking at it, retrospectively. 2018, this was immediately after Burnergate. Spike said, and I quote, "No fucking way Bridges lasts until 10. Spike loves Simons." Bridges was good, did last, but yeah. 2019, we're getting into the years where it's too early to accurately assess the rightness and wrongness, but Spike said Zion weighs too much and will get injured a lot. 2020, Spike said Maxey would be a perfect six man. Bodner had him at one. Neither one of you like Wiseman, which you continue to hear.
Bodner had him at one?
Well, one for Sixers, probably.
Sure.
You continue to have your one-sided rivalry with yes. your one-sided beef with James Wiseman.
I'm fine for that to be a one-sided beef. Absolutely. It's the most, yeah. Imagine a big guy dunking sometimes. Oh, and I'm sure all these like step back 19 footers are going to play in the regular season or in the playoffs when he's playing for fucking Golden State. I'm sure they're going to be plenty happy with him taking those shots. He blows.
Which brings me to my question. Which big board prediction are you most proud of and most disappointed by? Mike?
I've come back and looked a little bit. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is one of, I was pretty high on. Dinwiddie was one of my guys. I'm trying to remember if there were more. I've certainly been plenty wrong. I've been doing big boards since 2007 or something, 2008. So it's been a lot of, you know, I'm still rooting for Joe Alexander. I think he can still turn a corner, help an NBA team. Let me see if there's any more.
I think my gems for me personally were Anfernee Simons, especially considering you and Elon's like stunned reaction. And also I had Darius Garland at number one. Also, and though the book will be written on this or something, I did have Michael Porter Jr. at one as well. And he has shown the ability to live up to that. And I'm still, as far as like disappointed by, he just said, Hazonia was a number one big board guy for me. And yeah,
I liked Hazonia also for sure.
A total disaster.
My favorite kinds of guys that I like and like being right on are like the second round guys. That's obviously what I live for. So, I mean, I just popped the 2018 draft. So D'Anthony Melton and Shake Milton are two examples of guys I liked very much there. And
by the way, I think that, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No good.
I think I had Mikal Bridges as number one on my big board that year, unless he was awesome. Maybe two, something like that.
He was always awesome. He's great. It's tough.
Okay. Non-basketball question. You are given unlimited funds, access to the world's best coaches and trainers, and you have 4 years. You have to train for and qualify for the Olympics, summer or winter. The catch is you actually have to participate, so you can't choose basketball and be the 12th man who never plays. Which sport are you choosing? Love the pod and hope CJ is well rested. Which sport? Any Olympic sport.
Any Olympic sport.
You have 4 years to train and you have to participate.
Yeah. Ping pong could be, I mean, I would lose at everything. I'm not an Olympic athlete, but I could get, I'm pretty good at ping pong. And so I imagine with unlimited funds and training and nothing else to do, I could get better at it. Give me another sport. Talk to me.
Wrestling.
Probably couldn't do wrestling.
Gymnastics.
No, I don't think so.
Weightlifting.
It's probably not.
Skateboarding is now. I would pick skateboarding. I would, obviously my body could not handle it and it would end disastrously, but it would be a fun one to say that I was doing.
I might lose. I mean, I imagine I'm pretty good at like assessing, okay, who are the fewest people going out for this? My first internship that was paid, which was cool, was with the TV Academy. And I only got it because I was like, who's going to pick the least? Who's going to try to go out for the fewest categories? Like what's the one who's going to have the fewest applicants? Mm-hmm. And I think I don't know if I was right, but I got it. And so I'm pretty good at knowing. It's just like finding the market inefficiency of like, I just need this job or I just need this Olympic qualifier. So whatever the fewest people are, maybe Luge.
Here's a voicemail to
although fucking Dave Reuter, hang on, Dave Reuter is in curling and is like nonstop post sending me and Tanner like curling videos of him like scrubbing the fucking ice with this guy, and I feel like
you could do that.
He's on his team is like an Olympic athlete. He's not one, but if he can even be close, I feel like I could with 4 years get there. But I still believe that he's actually. I can't believe that he's still actually curling. It feels like it's a bit, and it feels like it's Photoshop or whatever it is. Like it's a doctored video. All of a sudden, he just sends us curling videos, and it's like, when did this happen? When did we start doing this?
You can leave us a voicemail. Curling is your final answer.
Yeah.
833 Lickface is where you leave us a voicemail.
Yo, what's up? My name is Dan Carr, huge 76ers fan out of Columbus, Ohio. I just want to say that I'm glad that we got players like PJ Tucker and Dan Wellhouse, who are some real NBA players. Listen, I love Firkin Korkmaz and Shake Milton just as much as the next guy, but we got to stop falling in love with people like Trevelyn Queen. The dude can't play. I know he's a G League MVP, but the dude can't play. I just watched him go 4-for-13 in the Summer League game. I'm glad that we got some real actual NBA players like other NBA teams, and we're not constantly trying to turn Shake Milton into somebody better. You know what I'm saying? So shout out the Sixers. Down to TTP.
What's your reaction to that?
I don't trust anybody that calls them the 76ers. Never have. I never have. If you say the Philadelphia 76ers like that and you're wanting to like be a little grandiose, that's fine. But if you're just saying on your own calling them the 76ers, then I don't trust you. But look, yeah, I mean, he's currently signed on as the 16th man on the roster. Like no one's saying he should start and he's going to be the best player. And the Sixers have had depth issues so that it's exposed that Shake and Korkmaz are not, you know, starter level NBA players, but some teams get guys that can help. Gary Payton was waived and then played in the NBA finals. Like there's guys, Gary Payton the second, and there's people, some teams find guys that can help. And it's easy to say like, this guy's not going to be anything. It's very easy. And you're usually going to be right, but it's fun to project.
It's where we
them
come
forward.
From. It's where we come from. It's the origins of this is all just players that we hope work out. That's
sure. By the way, we haven't talked about last night. I really liked the little chemistry between Trevelyn Queen and Isaiah Joe. Not something that we're probably going to see on an NBA court. There you go. But they both look good. Isaiah Joe hitting shots, stepping into it, a little off-ball movement. Had a nice finish, little scoop finish.
I didn't watch it.
Through
I'm
traffic,
not watching
that was nice.
Anymore. I'm done.
Oh, it was great. It was a great game.
I
think Zoe was right, and I'm getting into Michael Foster Jr. He's just so young and he produces. I don't believe in his rim protection, but
I think he follows us on Twitter. I think he follows the Ricky. Yeah.
Well, maybe this will be a one-sided beef on his end because now I'm starting to like him. And they signed him to one of those Exhibit 10 deals, so it could be maybe a two-way spot sometime in the future. But and then a really nice game from Grant Riller. Really nice Grant Riller game. Finally saw it. Hitting shots, looking shifty with the ball in his hands. A couple of interesting finishes. I love his finishing package. I want him to pop more athletically, and he needs to just like make smart passes and stuff so he can occasionally be a backup point guard here or there when guys are injured or out or whatever. But yeah, I don't think Julian Champagne should be the second two-way spot. If Charlie Brown's one of the two-way spots, totally fine. I don't think it should be Julian Champagne. He looks awful. Awful, awful, awful. And at least you can't just be just because you promised somebody a two-way spot before. If they play bad enough, you gotta cut them. Eat that salary. Go build a stadium on Boathouse Row.
Look how bad the promise worked out for Larry Brown promising Larry Hughes. You know, you just sometimes you got to renege on promises. Sometimes you do. We actually got a second voicemail about Trevelyn Queen.
Spike and Mike, I wanted to share some information about my favorite player, Trevelyn Queen. Trevelyn Queen, number 9, plays guard. Trevelyn Queen, at 6'6" and 190 pounds, plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. Trevelyn Queen is age 25 and from New Mexico State college.
Jimmy sent us an email. Hey, Spike and Mike, two questions for the pod today. One, do you think James Harden will be an all-star this season? If so, is it because he deserves it or because he's James Harden?
Were we getting somewhere with that other voicemail? I wasn't sure. Where was that headed?
That was the whole thing.
That was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
James Harden, all-star. I don't think he'll be an all-star.
I'm going to look. Like, let's look at the guards. So Jimmy Butler will probably be an all-star. Right? I'm just looking at guards that will be considered. Jaylen Brown.
Just look at last year's All-Star team for the Eastern Conference, you know?
Right, I'm not even looking at that. Zach LaVine, Jimmy Butler, but Butler's guard and forward. You have to Jaylen Brown, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday will be considered, obviously. Fred VanVleet, Zach LaVine.
He'll be in the mix. I don't think that he'll get there because of hopefully he is protecting his body for the playoffs, which we all desperately care about. And not,
I would say,
season.
The one advantage he does have is that I don't think there's a guard in the Eastern Conference who will get voted in that doesn't deserve it. You know, like that happens sometimes. I don't know if, like, unless there's a weird Kyrie thing or something, but there's no guard in the Eastern Conference that will get like an unfair amount of votes just because they're famous. I think it might be him.
I just think he's so clearly he's not the best player in the Sixers, and there's a chance that if Maxi takes another step forward that Maxi's stats end up looking better than his, and in the same way that like it's hard for Milwaukee to get three all-stars with those guys, I think it'll probably be hard for the Sixers to get two or three.
Number two, who do you think that would be the best two or three UFC fighters on the Sixers roster? I would love to see Joel fuck someone up in the octagon, but I feel like he's too clunky and big. Curious to hear what you guys think. Well, it's PJ Tucker.
PJ would be good. I think B-Ball Paul would be good.
Oh, yeah.
I think Niang probably be good. And I'd say Bassey. Maybe Springer.
I think the Niang, PJ Tucker, B-Ball Paul, I think those are it. P.S. Please never retire the pod. This comes from Will. Spike mentioned on the lack of trade. Oh, this is an old one, but I thought it was worth bringing up. Spike mentioned on the lack of trade emails being sent how hopeless we feel as a fan base. That's true, but because we all know that Maxi is the only player that could be traded to make us a championship team, and we don't want to trade him. I'm not saying we should do any of these trades. Yada yada yada. Feel free to discuss. Yada yada yada. I guess the idea of, we got some blowback because we both said we would trade him for Donovan Mitchell. I'm not suggesting that they do or it's even possible. I think we both said it seems impossible, but he does seem to be at this level where he could help them obtain a star level player, but nobody wants to do it. And I understand that. Yes, some people sent in Maxi stats compared to Donovan Mitchell stats. I don't think right now they are even close to the same level of player. Stats, like carrying a really good team offensively as the number one option is just different than what Maxi had to do. And I don't think you can compare their stats. I would hate to see him traded because everybody loves him so much and he's going to be really good. But
he's already very good. Donovan Mitchell's only 25. Donovan Mitchell's gotten better, and from season to season, he started basketball late. So there's hope that there is he started focusing on basketball late because he was a baseball player more as a kid. I love Maxi. I don't want to trade him. I'm just trying to be grounded in a way that makes it obvious. Like Donovan Mitchell performed at a high level in the NBA playoffs several years. And that was a flawed team and everything. And he's not nearly as good enough of a defender as he has to be. But, I mean, he's very good. I don't want to trade Maxi. Not looking forward to it. But if we're being honest, like Donovan Mitchell right now, for the next, let's say, 3-4 years with Harden and Embiid, gives you a better chance to, you know, go further into the playoffs than Maxi does right now. There's a chance that in six or seven years, maybe. Maxey's better than him, but I think in the window that we're talking about, it's just he's better right now. But I love Maxey, and I don't want to trade him. I wouldn't be because I'm an emotional guy, because I get attached to our guys. I'm not dying to do it.
Final email. This comes from Eric. It's summer now. Mike can get over it because it's time to discuss Kate. It doesn't need to be a discussion about whether she's good or not. I think she's good and she is certainly worthy of the position. But it's time to discuss the rim rocker. We don't have much as Sixers fans, so take away any joy from breakaway dunks that will surely feature Springer in 2023 is criminal. Mike, do you like her yelling rim rocker after so many dunks? I didn't know she did this because I only watch the visiting one. But apparently she yells rim rocker a lot. Your thoughts?
I like Kate. I think she did a great job. I think everybody, rim rocker is not my favorite of the things, but I think like every broadcaster at this point that's like coming out, like imagine like a 22-year-old broadcaster.
I know many of them.
Everyone coming out is just like doing an impression of the people that they have seen. And it's like, you could believe it like in the 80s or something that everyone would be like, okay, I have my own thing. And I'm really like, I got my tape recorder and I'm going to minor league games or whatever, or hockey games, and just recording to myself and really developing my own voice. But at this point, like they're so ubiquitous and like the clips are all so out there that everyone has some level of like feeling like coming off like a poser. Cause you're just doing an impression of the previous styles of people that you heard and stuff. And so I think Kate has her own style. I think it's good, but like I bump on like every broadcast, every like play by play person, like trying to find their thing because it all feels so like false and manufactured.
Do you think that that is different in any other sort of performative art form, like music or comedy, or like isn't everyone at this point sort of doing an impression of what they grew up on?
A ton of that for sure, but it's in broadcasting, unlike in music or comedy or performance in some sense, there's such a limited amount of things you can talk about really. Like you're just really like talking about the game kind of thing. And I think you want to get past the like try hard moment. And this isn't about Kate at all. This is just about like generally everybody. And it just feels like I just went to college with so many of these guys that did this. And like Ithaca and Syracuse, just like nonstop, like trying to find their serious broadcast voice. And it's like, it's just like, come on, man. It feels like it's just a fake impression and stuff. And it feels, I don't know, the voice just bumps me. And I don't think Kate has that voice. I think she just like is genuinely herself on there. So I enjoy it. I think she does a good job.
Well, she's certainly doing broadcaster voice. I mean, there's no way. I mean, she certainly is. I think
there's levels of broadcaster voice that you have that like, this is an embarrassing level. Like Ian Eagle's son is like just so, he's nothing but broadcaster voice versus like, it's a sliding scale is what I think of it as.
Sure. I would disagree with you that there's a limit, that there's nobody doing anything different. I think if you were to take the whole of, I do agree that there are only so many things that you could do, but I think that you could say that about music. And I think that you could say it about comedy as well. I think that like, especially if you're looking to do something that is consumed by a mass group of, you know, audience, like you can't write songs longer than 4 or 5 minutes if you want to get popular. And you can't, like, you could certainly do things way different, but to be accepted and make money doing it, there's a certain group.
In anything, you're having to like get through the like, who do I sound like? I'm just doing an impression of my favorite people before. But I think it's just because of the like self-seriousness of a sports broadcast or a news broadcast, I think like it's more like just get over yourself. Like, come on, calm down. And it's not, this again isn't about Kate. It's generally the like new broadcaster profession where you're just like, you roll your eyes at some of the like tropes and then being like finding their little phrases and stuff that's going to try to sound iconic as much as like, I'm going to find my Mike Breen bang. Like, it makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah, I don't think it's different than others. I don't think it's anything done. I think the great ones are the ones that you don't think that are doing that. And then everyone else feels that way. And finally, from Eric, or his jigsaw, Mike, for 1 year, would you rather have Kate yelling coffee sipper in the rim rocker tone every time you sip your coffee, and you have to get coffee every day, or would you rather listen to the NBA TV guy rhyme highlights of your daily life for 1 year before you go to sleep every night?
Coffee sipper. Easily coffee sipper. 100%. Fucking rhyme guy. It's not one guy. I needed to say that. It's not one guy. There's multiple guys doing it. NBA TV is telling their highlight people that you have to rhyme, and I just don't understand who it's for. Who is rhyme humping, obsessed with rhymes? It doesn't make the highlights better. It distracts from the highlights. Just establish the situation, cool play, keep it moving. No one is asking for a rhyme. It doesn't make it better. Nonsense. Just think about what you're doing. Don't just do it because everyone else has been doing it. Why rhyme? There's nothing inherently rhyming about basketball. Clyde Frazier, that's rhyming is his thing. That's fun. He has fun with it. He has made it his brand, and that is cool. But like random highlight people just having to put him on there, just like in the Salt Lake City, and that is, he dunked it right in his titty. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we, it doesn't matter. We don't have to say it. We don't have to rhyme. You're just getting clipped. You finding sounds now?
Yeah, this just a
audio sound guy.
There
you go. He's finally found his clips. 9 years in, Spike found some clips. He's going to play the audio sounds. There it is. We got them all. Great. Stuff like that. Yeah. Sure.
All right. That means it's the end of the pod. Well, hopefully, do you think James Harden will sign at least prior to the season?
Oh, right. I forgot about that. I forgot that he hasn't signed.
Yeah.
Take your time. I don't care. Let the tampering charges roll on in. Let Mark Stein dig his little nose in there, trying to find the evidence that like there's been something untoward in these billion-dollar franchises. There might be some money going around under the table. Cool, Mark.
If you did say that, I am not a Substack subscriber. I'm not saying that, you know, you should subscribe to people's Substacks, but we don't even know what he actually said. So thanks to whatever that Twitter was who pulled the tweet or pulled the clip. All right. We will hopefully something happens between now and next time. If not, and we all look forward to CJ getting measured by his girlfriend's dad. Will be a huge episode. Huge episode. We'll talk to you next time. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know the guy.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.